It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The Dallas mayor is voicing his opposition to proposed pension reform legislation in Texas. A bill under consideration seeks to save the troubled Dallas Police and Fire Pension Fund. Mayor Mike Rawlings wants to fix the fund, but he says the proposed bill is costly to Dallas and could threaten the city's ability to deliver basic services. Rawlings addressed a Texas House Pensions Committee hearing this afternoon in Austin.
It amounts to nothing more, in my opinion, than a taxpayer bailout, a Dallas taxpayer bailout. The bill does not give the city and its taxpayers the authority we need to permanently fix the pension.
Rawlings says he also wants Dallas to have more control over the board that oversees the police and fire pension fund. The fund is on track to run out of money in about a decade unless changes are made. State Representative Dan Flynn is chairman of the House Pension Committee. He disagrees with the mayor's characterization of the bill.
This is not a bailout plan of the pension. It's doing what is right to ensure a public safety presence on the street and taking care of the families that take care of us. Anyone opposed to this bill is standing against the Dallas police and fire families, public safety, and the city's responsibility to take care of them.
Flynn says of 93 Texas pension plans under legislative purview, 36 do not have sufficient funding. Testimony continued throughout the afternoon. No decision on the bill was scheduled to be made today. Tonight, parents and citizens in Lavernia, 25 miles southeast of San Antonio, will have a chance to question the school superintendent about an athletic scandal that has rocked the small community. Local police say they have arrested at least 10 student athletes for sexual assault in connection with the hazing of other students joining varsity sports teams. Philip Higginbotham is a youth pastor at the Lavernia United Methodist Church and has been counseling parents and students who attend the high school.
We've heard a lot of, you know, kind of moved out to Lavernia to get away from these kind of things, thinking that that's going to be the case. Unfortunately, this is just one of those wake-up calls where we find out that these kind of things can happen no matter where you are.
Local police have said the hazing has taken place over the past 3 years, and there may be as many as 24 victims. School Superintendent Jose Moreno will address the community tonight at a special board meeting. In 2012, 20 children and 6 teachers were killed in the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. A new documentary called Newtown looks at how the Connecticut community is recovering from that tragedy. Today on Think, the film's director, Kim A. Snyder, told Chris Boyd it's time for the U.S. to address gun violence.
We have to do something about our situation with guns, and it doesn't have to threaten Second Amendment rights. So I don't even use phrases like gun control personally, because I think that's not what it's about. It's about coming to some middle ground. You know, we've done this in our society. We've managed to look at things like seatbelts and mothers against drunk driving. And when I grew up, we didn't have the term designated driver. We've done it with secondhand smoke because we did research, we got data, and it did save lives. So it may not cure it, but I do think there are things that we could be more proactive about.
The Independent Lens documentary Newtown airs tonight at 8 on KERA-TV. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. This past week, French artist Pierre Huig was in Dallas, being honored with lectures, a public discussion, and a dinner. Huig is the second winner of the $100,000 Nasher Sculpture Prize. It's the richest international award solely for the art of sculpture. Art and Six Jerome Weeks reports the week was the topper to a month that had 12,000 people seeing his work at the Nasher.
At Saturday's gala, the Nasher's garden was turned into something akin to a Pierre Huig artwork. More than 300 people, including Mayor Mike Rawlings, had dinner in a dark forest. A large tent was filled with tree branches and mist. A trio of Dallas musicians, called Jane Magnolia Jane, played atmospheric drones on such instruments as a sewing machine, a floor lamp, and a reel-to-reel tape recorder. All that was needed was perhaps a giant ice wall to visibly crumble and melt during the evening. That's because, as a sculptor, Huig doesn't create statues, he creates complex systems. And his systems interact and change. Nasher director Jeremy Strick.
I think his interest is not making works that are static, but works that evolve, that change over time. And I think for our jury, the concept of time and sculpture was really critical.
The 54-year-old Frenchman was an unconventional choice for the 9-member jury of museum directors, curators, and art historians. Wieg says at no point in his career did he consciously reject sculpture's classic tradition of the solid object isolated on a pedestal. He's just never been very interested in it. Instead, his pieces have included beehives, aquariums, and ice rinks, as well as an animated figure he's open-sourced, letting others create videos with it.
I realized that I have always been interested in the many, a multiplicity, and then I'm interested about change and time. And if you just say many and change, very fast you understand that you're interested about the network or the ecosystem.
Sculptures have always had an element of time in our experience of them. We have to walk around to get a full view of a statue. Artists have often emphasized this by using marble or bronze to depict a fleeting moment. Michelangelo's David has just picked up a stone to face Goliath. Despite their illusion of permanence, marble and bronze sculptures will also corrode over time. But Wieg's artworks have change visibly built into them. You never experience them the same way. They often feature animals wandering in and out, or an entire biosphere, like the forest of trees he once planted inside the Sydney Opera House. But when Wieg talks about time, he isn't simply talking about decay and collapse. As he talks, his hand moves in the air like a rolling wave up and down.
Things can collapse, but from that collapse, things will regrow. And so I'm interested about this appearance and disappearance of things over the course of time. So in a certain way, it's the monument versus the event. The monument, you can say, okay, let's build a giant pyramid and we will be eternal.
But while Egypt's pyramids are certainly still around, they've been vandalized. They've decayed over the centuries. Meanwhile, Wieg says, Aesop's fables originated as oral tales thousands of years ago, and they've been retold and translated and adapted all over the world.
And people still tell Aesop's tales, and it's like stronger than a pyramid.
During Friday's public conversation at Booker T. Washington's Arts Magnet High School, Wieg said because his works are often ecosystems, they do have an environmental message. There is no such thing as a closed, eternal, self-sustaining system. His aquariums and even the electronic systems he's working on now require upkeep.
So you have this responsibility toward that object. So you become part of this ecosystem yourself, which I do like.
His artworks, like all artworks, require caretakers to continue. They require us. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Two Pierre Huig's artworks are on view at the Nasher through April 30th. You can see videos of his work at artinseek.org. And finally, it's opening day at Globe Life Park in Arlington. The Texas Rangers host the Cleveland Indians. It's about 25 minutes ago the game started. First pitch was thrown. The Rangers aren't playing their usual daytime game to start the new season. Instead, the game was moved so it can be aired nationally on ESPN. The Rangers have won the American League West the past 2 years, but pundits say they have their work cut out this season. Most experts place the Rangers finishing in second place behind their in-state rivals, the Houston Astros. At the moment, the game is in the first inning. It's 0-0. It's a great night for a ball game in Arlington, by the way. Mostly clear skies later on. Should be a low around 59. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Slight chance for showers. Low around 53. It's currently 79 degrees in Dallas, 81 in Fort Worth and Tyler, and 77 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.